Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. That's right, the hymnal, the prayer hymnal of the Jewish people and us as Catholics, because we hear the Psalms in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. These are Psalms approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And today we're going to finish our look at Psalm 21. So Psalm 21, of course, is in Book 1 of the Psalms. And all those Psalms in Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41, are written by David. And don't forget, you can listen to this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. Go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or on the EWTN app, which is awesome, which, by the way, just made all their content free. You know, I just got the update. I love EWTN app. It's great. And you can also listen, of course, on Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes or whichever podcast medium you'd like. The Soulful Psalms. Okay, so we're starting at verse 9. Now, the prescript, verse 1, very simply says, "For the choir master, a psalm of David." Now, we've talked before about imprecatory psalms or quote-unquote cursing psalms. Now, these psalms don't use curse words, okay? But it's very strong, like, language in it as far as, like Psalms 58, 83, 109 is not even used in the Psalter as part of the four-week cycle because of some of the strong themes of those songs, of those psalms. And this psalm, and there's parts of other psalms, Psalm 110 and others that they leave parts of those psalms out. Well, these few verses we're going to go through now are parts that are left out of the psalm when you pray. So when you pray the Liturgy of the Hours and you get this Psalm 21, you'll see it says verses 1 through 8 and then verse 14. So wait a minute, what happened to 9 through 13? Well, they took those verses out because they didn't like the tone of them. We're going to cover those here because I'm with St. Augustine that says, that we shouldn't be leaving any of the Psalms out. This is all inspired word of God. We have to understand it within its context. So let me just lead in by going through verse 8. So this is a psalm where David is rejoicing in the blessings that he received from the Lord as king. So let's quickly recap verse 8. "The king has placed his trust in the Lord. Through the mercy of the Most High, he is unshaken." So again, this beautiful theme of David, unwavering trust in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he is unshaken. Right? So that's the lead in. Now we get to verse 9. "Your hand will find out all your foes. Your right hand will find out those that hate you. You will burn them like a blazing furnace on the day when you appear. And the Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will swallow them up." Okay, so you can see that they're not actually using curse words, but this is not wishing hateful things to people. But again, what David is doing here is saying the people who choose not to put their trust in the Lord, the people who turn their backs on the ways of the Lord, who make the intellectual and heartfelt decision to follow their own way of living and thinking and not of the Lord, there's consequences for those, right? There's consequences for that when you freely choose not to do that. So your hand, so again, speaking on behalf of the Lord here, "Your hand will find out all your foes. Your right hand find out those that hate you." So again, he's in a sense speaking for the Lord. I mean, the Lord didn't necessarily put these words in his mouth, right? But he's thinking, okay, I put my trust in the Lord. Those who don't, the Lord will find out who they are, and they're going to suffer the consequences of their actions and decisions. because all of the actions and decisions of our lives have consequences. And look at the consequences here. Again, he's using symbolic language, right? He's using metaphoric language here. He will burn them like a blazing furnace. But actually, we think about, hold on. Think about burn them like a blazing furnace. Think about what purgatory is. It's a burning away of all those things that separate us from God's love. It's like when you pull ore out of, like a precious metal like gold or silver, when you pull it out of the ground, you have to separate all the impurities out of it so that the gold or the silver or the other precious metal is pure, right? So you have to separate the slag from the ore. So when this blazing furnace, that's like purgatory. It burns away all those things within us that separate us from God's love so that when our souls appear before the Lord as pure and holy, right? And as Jesus says, perfect, teleos in Greek, or talmim in Hebrew, which means mature, whole, and complete, right? So you will burn like a blazing furnace on the day when you appear, because the God is pure light, and that light of God's love burns away hatred, burns away sin, burns away animosity, right? That separates us from God. This is the way that I'm reading this psalm. Not like, God, will you burn them with your anger and destroy them? Yes, it uses that language, but understanding what David is actually trying to say here, using the language of his culture, but what is he actually trying to say here? He will consume them with his anger. Fire will swallow them up, right? So, again, I'm thinking back to the sons of Korah, right? In 2 Samuel, where the fire from heaven comes down. The ground opens and swallowed up Korah and his family. The fire from heaven consumes the other followers of Korah who rebelled against Moses. I'm sorry, it's Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16, where the fire consumed the followers of Korah. So David may be talking about that, but I'm looking at it from an allegorical perspective, looking at it through the lens of Christ.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes when we're waiting on God to intervene in a situation, we still look to some of those Old Testament readings and thinking that that's still how he works.
Yes.
And it hazes over what he's really doing in those moments.
No, exactly right. And this is where the atheists and agnostics and people who don't like faith, see, look what kind of God, he burns them up. Well, look, first of all, God didn't do that. Mm-hmm. David is speaking, in a sense, on behalf of God, saying, here's the people that don't follow God, they're going to experience pain.
Yeah.
And he's using this language to describe that. That's all he's doing here.
Yeah.
It gets even stronger, verse 11. You will wipe out their descendants from the earth and their offspring from the human race. Woo!
That's vicious.
It is vicious. Again, that's why they call these, quote unquote, cursing psalms, right?
Right.
Though they plant evil against you, though they plotted, they shall not prevail. Right? Though they plotted, they shall not prevail. So again, wiping out their descendants from the earth, their offspring from the human race. Again, very strong language. But again, the consequences of separating yourself from God's love is what? Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Eternally, the making the decision forever, for all eternity, to be separated from God.
Yeah.
Right? So in a sense, when you think about it that way, they are wiped out from the earth. Right? And he said they're offspring from the human race. Now, thanks be to God. Again, looking at this allegorically through the lens of what Christ has done for us, you know, God has provided a way for these folks to find redemption and salvation. Because remember, wipe out from the face of the earth. Where did they go? They went to Sheol, mm-hmm. right? Not the hell of damnation, right? Because everybody that died prior to Jesus on Good Friday went down to Sheol, or Hades, the abode of the dead. Then Christ went down and brought those souls to heaven. Those who made the decision to follow Christ, to bring those souls with him to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're hoping for our faithful loved ones that die, that they have made the decision when they stand before God to be judged, that they made the decision, not to separate themselves from God's love, but to live with God forever in heaven. Maybe have to go through purgatory first, but at least they're going to be on their way to heaven. Mm, yeah. And so this is why we say at Mass when people die that we know for sure they're in heaven. We can't say that because we don't know for. We pray, but we don't know.
Sure. Well, and also, I mean, really the ultimate in any situation is let them find Jesus. Like whether they ever apologize to you for a situation or right the wrong or whatever, but to know God, that is the ultimate goal.
Amen.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.